Central City. 2GO Breakfast with Mandy and Widow. Feels
good, Central Coast City. Good morning, Central Coast. Good morning, Widow.
Hi, Mandy.
So, Hayley, our producer, who is the lady that answers the phone, yeah. The lovely woman that answers the phone when you call 2GO, 13 27 10, she slept in today.
I know.
She's, we had to ring her and wake her up.
I was a little bit worried this morning. She's usually in before me. She's like, here, ready to go.
She's always here first.
I was like, oh, Hayley's
in here. Oh, dear.
But it's all right.
Sleepyheads come to work.
She made it here. She's okay. That's the main thing.
But you know what? It's that horrible feeling when you know you've slept in and then people are calling you and you're just like, ah!
Yeah, you panic.
You just like throw on whatever's next to your bed and just anyway.
You know what? We should get her some breakfast this morning. She
we
probably hasn't had anything
get her
to
some
eat.
Breakfast.
All right, she's looking at us. We're worried about you, Hayley. We're gonna mummy and daddy you this morning.
Yes, we are.
Lucky you.
107.7 2GO.
Yesterday we caught up with an old friend, Akmal Salih.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me again. It's amazing that you still want to talk to me after all that's happened in the past what will happen in the future.
You know what? The past is the past, Akmal. Don't worry about the past. Live
that's
in the present.
Is this the present now?
Yes, it is. We're on the radio. Okay. Yeah. Are you awake? Are you with us?
Yeah, yeah. No. Well, the present. But when I asked you that question, now it's the past, isn't it?
Okay.
Well,
don't think about it too long and hard.
That was the past. Now's the present. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And we're done. Thank you for having me. It's all right. It's been good. Back to bed.
Hey, Akmal, I want to get your take on Egg Boy because he's been in the news a lot this week. And
Egg
this
Boy,
is the kid, the 17-year-old that egged Fraser Anning.
Look, you know, he's been hailed as a hero. Some have called him a superhero.
Yeah.
It's easy to become a hero in this country. You don't have to do a lot. You know, like America's got Martin Luther King. South Africa's got Nelson Mandela. Mm. We've got Egg Boy. Egg Boy should be a duet. What about Bacon Man and Egg Boy? They just go attack Nazis all over the... Yeah. No, but it was funny, man. It was funny watching. If you're going to egg someone, make sure he's got a head that is eggable. That guy, Fraser Anning, his head is perfect. You know, like, you know, I bet you more people thought about doing it because he's got that. It's big and it's bald and it's round.
And it's hard. And, yeah.
Well, you know you're going to got a good sound when it hits. That
But they were up north. Up north, it was really hot. If he just left it a little bit, but he could have made an omelette on his head. He could have just like flipped it and
he could have had a little omelette hat on his head.
Well, I, you know, as you know, I'm a vegan. I would not egg anybody. I would have hit him with a Lebanese cucumber. Just the back of the head, just one of those big ones, just whack him one. or a bucket of tofu. He wouldn't have been as upset, you know, if he just was like tofu. He's been tofu'd. Tofu boy doesn't have the same ring. You know?
Now, Akmal, we know you're a vegan, mate, but you're also you're a big climate change kind of guy. You love the environment, right?
I don't really care about the environment because I don't have kids. When I'm gone, that's it. You know, hey, enjoy the party, fellas.
Oh,
forget about
Akmal,
I'm selfish. I'm a self-centered person. I know that. But these kids were protesting climate change. They took a day off school to protest climate change. Yep. Now, I would have taken a day off school to protest just having less cats or more cats. Or, you know, no short people. People with small nipples should get free parking. Yeah, I'll protest that. Why not?
I'm getting the vibe, mate, that you just wanted to protest anything to get out of school.
Well done.
Thanks.
I'm glad you made that. You've come to that conclusion very quickly. I had to keep talking until someone got it.
I didn't understand. You were talking about more cats. I'm thinking, what's he talking about here? I've no idea.
Well, I had no idea either. But
I guess, it's just another day for you, friend.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad someone came in with help there. But look, this is what I think we should do. I think, you know, sorry to be so negative so early in the morning, but... I think we're doomed. I think we just, this is it. This is serious. Stop having kids. Like, if you're a kid now, that's okay, but don't have any more kids, and let's just party. Let's just go crazy. Let's burn fossil fuels for fun. And then just, you know, just have fun, enjoy ourselves, and then, you know, the last person out, turn the light out, and that's it. We're done.
Wow.
Party's over. What do you think?
Well, we always like chatting to you, Akmal. You always bring a different perspective on things. Thanks yes. for chatting, mate. We'll chat again soon.
See you, right. Akmal.
Bye-bye. Have a great life.
107.7 2GO.
So, you a diehard fan? Are you a fan of the movies?
Yeah, oh, diehard. Well, it's not a trilogy anymore. There's four of them.
There's four now, is
yeah,
there?
You know, yeah, you know, I love Die Hard.
I think
great.
The second one was my favourite. Is that the one where he blows up the plane?
Yeah, the plane. So it goes tower, plane, bank heist, and I haven't actually seen four. Probably need to get around to
okay.
that.
Okay. My son loves the Die Hard. He especially likes watching them at Christmas. That's his Christmas movie.
Yeah, it's a great I love that it's a Christmas movie.
I do
movie.
Love, actually. He does Die Hard. But they were good films when they came out. The first one, this is going to shock you, the first one came out in 1988. 88.
Yeah.
Does that not make you feel really old?
A little bit, yeah.
And of course, they've done, like you say, they've done four versions of the film. They've also done, I think, some video games of the film.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay.
There's Die Hard video games. Okay. But now they're bringing out a Die Hard board game.
See, board games are making a resurgence. This is big.
They are.
It doesn't really surprise me. And look, I'd like to give it a go.
Yeah, well, do you want to hear what you have to do?
Yeah, please.
It's called Die Hard the Nakatomi Heist board game.
Oh, yeah.
And it's basically one person versus many asymmetric experiences. So it's kind of like one person gets to be John McClane and everyone else gets to be the baddies. I think that's how it works.
Well, okay.
Which makes sense,
it's
right?
Not bad.
That makes sense.
If it's the Nakatomi Tower, that's the first one. And Alan Rickman was the bad guy in that.
Oh.
And he's a great bad guy. So
see?
I wouldn't mind being the Alan Rickman character.
Yeah, see, I was thinking about the little pieces. Like, so you know how Monopoly, you've got the boot and you've got the top hat and stuff. I was thinking, what would they be for Die Hard? It would be like, you'd probably get a plane and a helicopter. You might get like a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
And maybe a tower. And maybe there's an Alan Rickman character. I don't know.
Also, do you remember that scene where he walks on the broken glass?
Oh, yes.
Maybe some broken glass or something.
Some broken
like that.
Glass
or
something. Yeah. Anyway, I'm excited about this. I think this is really kind of cool. And I like the idea of everybody else being against one person. I like those games. I like
But then
them.
That one person is John McClane, so you want to be that one person anyway.
Yeah, you
anyways.
Do want to be that one person, and you definitely want to win.
That sounds fun.
It sounds very fun. As long as you get to do something at the end, like I'm hoping that there's some sort of button that you have to get to in the middle of the board game where you hit the button and it just goes,
yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
I mean, it has to, right?
That would be awesome.
Be able to do that.
That's the way you win the game.
Absolutely.
107.7 2GO.
In the States, there's one neighbouring state that I think we should mention because it could happen here in Australia too, especially when it comes to fences, like you said, because this guy built a fence to keep his dogs in around his house.
Fair enough.
It was a pretty standard fence. Like, I think it was about 1.8 metres high. Pretty,
which you're allowed to do, aren't you?
Pretty normal. Yeah. But one neighbour complained about it, didn't like how high the fence was.
Mm.
I don't know why. Ruined his sight lines or something. So he contacted the local council, whatever they have over there, and they put in a thing saying, all right, you've got to lower your fence down to, in this one section, to 91 centimetres high. Which is not very high at all.
That's not high at all.
He's got dogs. Dogs can jump over that really easy.
Yeah.
And they were going to fine him every day that he didn't do it.
Oh.
So he called up a mate.
It's so trivial. I just find all this stuff so annoyingly irritating.
Ridiculous. Anyway, it was a timber fence. Called up a mate. He had a circ saw. They cut through the thing, got it down to 91 centimetres high, and it was all good. Everyone was happy.
Mm-hmm.
But he, the owner, was like, you know what? I'm going to get my own back here. I'm going to throw a little garden party.
Oh.
And he called it Jason's Garden Party.
Yep.
And he can't party 24 hours a day. So what do? He got some mannequins involved, but they're nude mannequins set up in his yard having a garden party on display 24 hours a day. And I think that's great.
I love this. How many mannequins are we talking? Is there a whole bunch of them?
I think there's about five or six mannequins all hanging
Fantastic.
Out. And he does.
Are they posing? Like they're having drinks?
Oh, yeah. It's full set up like a garden party.
Like a garden
there's
party?
Little, there's a little plates and there's like a dining set and a little table
well
and everything.
Done, Jason.
He does point out that the main parts are covered.
What do you mean?
Well, the
nudie bits.
Where Adam and Eve had leaves, he's got leaves.
Yeah, but have you ever seen a nude shop mannequin? It's not like it's, you know, anatomically correct or anything.
Well, they are, yeah. It's
like it's just a bulge.
Yeah.
Or a not bulge. Yeah, do you know what I mean? Like,
there's nothing to really hide anyway.
Like a
Ken
that's
doll.
Dumb. So what, he's got fig leaves on them as
well?
Yeah.
Well, there's all these kids going past in school buses and stuff, I think. But anyways, he said, I guess the average person would get angry and cop resentment. I throw a naked party in my yard. And Mandy, the one thing that makes me think about this is you, because if this was you,
I'd be there, mate.
You wouldn't use mannequins.
No,
you'd be out
party.
There in the
Let's
nude
go.
Gardening.
Let's go, everybody. Welcome to my naked party.
No, thank you.
107.7 2GO.
We were just talking earlier about the smart speakers. I've got one at home. You've got one.
Yeah.
They're actually becoming more and more popular. I was really nervous about getting one, I'll admit, because because I was worried about privacy and I was worried about all the data collection that can happen and the fact that they can secretly kind of record you while you're at home and stuff.
Big Brother's watching. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I've kind of made peace with the fact that nothing is going to be private from now on.
Yeah.
If you're on the internet, then nothing's private. But I do like the idea of walking into a room, and I do it now. My friends love it because they think it's hilarious where I walk in and go, Alexa, play Dragon. Are you old enough? And it comes on. Or I go, Alexa, what's the weather? It's really kind of cool. Like, the future is here, right?
I've got it hooked up to my lights.
Have you?
Yeah, I can say, hey Google, turn on the living room light. Or,
really?
Hey Google, make the living room light blue.
You've gone next level. I haven't.
It's fun.
Well, I'll tell you what the latest is around this smart speakers and Siri and voice-operated AI, right?
Yeah.
So this is all artificial intelligence. This is where computers are talking back to us. They've decided, there's a company that's decided to create, and hopefully they're saying for the future, this will be the norm for all AI voice-activated things, a gender-neutral voice. A voice that's neither male nor female. Now, the reason they're doing this is because they think that it's a bit of an oversight that a lot of these voice-activated devices are female voices.
Yeah.
They're saying that what it's doing is it's kind of perpetuating the stereotype that the woman is the organiser, that she keeps the calendar organised, that she has the, you know what I mean? Like, she's the personal assistant. Rather than the general manager, she's the personal assistant to the general manager. You know what I'm saying?
Great if you could change the voice. You remember, like, TomToms and SatNavs and stuff? You used to be able to change, like, the accents and all kinds.
Well, I changed my Siri to a man voice.
Yeah.
And I got him to call me Sexy Love Chops.
I had John Cleese as my TomTom once directing me around the place. It was hilarious.
Anyway, do you want to have a listen to this gender-neutral voice? It's pretty weird. You have to listen nice and hard.
All right.
Hi, I'm Q, the world's first genderless voice assistant. Think of me like Siri or Alexa, but neither male nor female. I'm created for a future where we are no longer defined by gender, but rather how we define ourselves. My voice was recorded by people who neither identify as male nor female.
I can hear, sometimes I hear male and other
sometimes
times I hear female.
Same, right? It's exactly the same reaction I had. Sometimes it sounds like a little bit masculine, then other times you go, oh no, that's female.
Yeah.
So what they did is they just got like a whole bunch of people who identify as gender neutral and they recorded them and then looked at how many hertz their voice was, you know, audible at and all that sort of stuff.
Okay.
It really interesting stuff, isn't it? We are headed towards a really androgynous world,
I think.
Are
they saying Yanni or Laurel, though?
Laurel.
That's the big question, right?
It's just Laurel, isn't it? It's just someone going Laurel.
No, I'm not getting into that debate again. No, it's a whole other kettle of fish. We're not doing that.
107.7 2GO.
Good morning, President Donald Trump.
Good morning, Mandy and Wimpo. How's the weather there in Central Coast?
It's good.
You know, here in DC, it's partly subpoena with a chance of indictments. I might need to bring my umbrella. I mean, White House lawyer.
We saw you and the First Lady attend church in Washington over the weekend, Mr. Trump.
Yes, that's right. And for the record, Melania still won't hold my hand. But all in all, it was a very inspirational time. It's my second favorite house of worship. My first favorite house of worship being McDonald's. You know, they fill me up there in ways I can't explain. My cup of Diet Coke runneth over.
Well, it was nice to see you being reflective and attending service, Mr. Trump. Happy Lent to you.
Yes, you too, Mandy. You know, I don't know if you know this, but I'm giving up pardons for Lent. And I will tell you, it's not easy. So many people asking me for help with the pardons, but God comes first, believe me. Now, how about you guys? Is there anything exciting happening in your politics?
Look, I see what you did there, sir. Yes, Egg Boy, he's become a national hero here. After his running with Queensland Senator Fraser Anning, did you see the video of the encounter?
Oh, see it. I watched it several times. I mean, what a tragedy. That was a total waste of a perfectly good free-range egg. You know, there's one less McMuffin for Queensland. Very sad.
Well, the senator was completely out of line. Egg Boy is just 17 years old, sir.
You know, I'm glad no one got hurt either, Mandy. You know, one time my ex-wife, threw a Fabergé egg at me in our penthouse in New York, hit me right in the side of the head. I couldn't say you're fired for like 3 straight days. Now, look, I don't know Senator Anning personally, but of all the far-right xenophobes, whatever the hell that means, he's one of the best. The best. Believe me.
All right. Let's switch topics, sir, and talk about your Twitter rage. Did you really threaten Saturday Night Live with a federal investigation for mocking you? Come on.
No, wrong. Not true. I threatened SNL with a federal investigation for not being funny. They're not funny. WIFO knows what I'm talking about. Now, look, they have, like, what, 30 people on that show? Nobody knows who the hell any of them are. I haven't seen a bigger pack of nobody since all these Democrats that are running for president in 2020. They're pathetic losers.
So what exactly will be investigated?
Well, for starters, Alec Baldwin will be investigated for presidential identity theft, elder abuse, and drunk and disorderly conduct. I mean, there's no way he's doing that bad impression sober, believe me. And Baldwin's makeup artist should be arrested, too. I mean, who's that supposed to be? He looks like Johnny Farnham in a really bad blonde wig.
President Bigly. Trump, speaking of Twitter and social media, you've been making accusations that they're biased against conservatives like yourself, that they discriminate against people with your views. Is that what you really believe?
Yes, I believe there is a bias, a huge bias. So I'm going to talk to Mark Facebook, and we're going to get this crap figured out. And while I'm at it, I'm going to put in a call to Jack Twitter and Kevin Instagram. You know, they seem much more down-to-earth than Tim Apple, believe me.
Okay. All right, let's move on. Now, how do you feel about the Democrats trying to make a connection of corruption between you and the ex-owner of the Asian massage place in Jupiter, Florida, I think it was, where your buddy Patriots owner Robert Kraft visited?
Okay, look, the Democrats are desperate, guys. They're desperate. If I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. I have never even heard of the Orchids of Asia Day Spa in Jupiter, Florida. And they have terrible parking and their condom machine's broken. Broken.
Oh, dear.
On that note, thank you so much for calling and joining us on 2GO, President Trump.
Stay huge, Central Coast.
107.7, 2GO.
Something that's disturbed me, and I'm going to get fired up about it.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to try not to yell.
Calm down.
Is that there's some sort of weird law, and it's stopping a bar in Sydney from having a disco ball.
Oh, that's disappointing.
What a great song.
This is ridiculous. Is this got to do with like lockout laws and all that stuff? Like, look, are they going next level now?
I think this is next level, right? Basically, they're saying that the disco ball could be seen in some way that the venue is acting as a nightclub.
Okay. All right.
The installation of a mirror ball implies an intent to provide for a dance floor. Police would have concern that the installation of a mirror ball in a premises that has not been approved for a dance floor could mean that the premises is being used for purposes not allowed. What is happening?
This is getting absurd.
What is happening in our world?
Yeah.
You know what we need to do? We need to have a disco ball protest where everybody just sticks up a disco ball. If they're going to have a crackdown, let's put disco balls in cafes. Let's put disco balls in libraries.
Okay.
Let's put disco balls in this studio.
Yeah, put disco balls everywhere. Yes. I like this. Maybe Egg Boy could like endorse disco balls somehow.
Absolutely.
Get him to, you know, throw disco balls at politicians.
I don't care who gets involved. I think we need to protest this, and I think we need to make sure that there is no ban on disco balls, because otherwise We're just gonna be transported to that movie.
What, Footloose?
Footloose.
Footloose with Kevin Bacon.
It's like dance.
Well, what I
disco balls are gonna get banned. Then dancing's gonna get banned. Then we've all got to go home and sit in front of the TV and eat our dinners because nothing is gonna be allowed.
What
anymore.
I find funny about this is that the police are now designating the areas where you can dance.
What is going on?
That's what
on?
I take from this. It's like the cops are going, hang on, what are those dance moves?
No, you must do those over here
in the designated dancing dance area.
You're gonna do the sprinkler. Go over there so you don't hit anyone in the face.
Look, what are we coming to? I agree with you. Let's put disco balls everywhere.
I'm saying get a disco ball. Yep. Everybody this weekend,
yep.
Go to your local party hire shop or your party shop, base warehouse, wherever, and get yourself a disco ball.
You get pulled over by a cop. Oh, what was it, sir? Am I on my phone? No, sir. That's a disco ball hanging off your wing.
I'm so sick of this news. I'm so annoyed.
107.7
2GR. Let's go to New York. I found this article in the New York Post, which just made me go, what?
All right.
I don't know whether you heard, a few weeks ago, I think it was, there was a mob murder in New York. It was a guy that was one of the bosses of one of the mafia gangs over there. Mafia is still pretty big all over the world, but this one is the Gambino family.
Oh, I know of the Gambino
You've
family.
You've heard about the Gambino family. Sounds very mob-like, doesn't it? Anyway, Frankie Boy Kelly was murdered, and obviously not a very cool thing, but this is interesting. He was laid to rest yesterday in a mausoleum on Staten Island, and his associates paid for his internment in the mausoleum with $45,000 in cash.
That's a lot of money.
So his associates came into the burial ground with suitcases. like mob guys walking into a cemetery with suitcases of cash.
What about the...
It's like out of a movie.
What about the guy or woman that runs the mausoleum?
Well...
Would you count it in front of them? Do you know what I mean? Like, there's there's a lot of money there and you don't want to be rude in front of them, so...
They're the mob. You don't count anything. You just go, thank you.
How do you know?
Care if there's $100 less than you said.
Well, like, imagine if it's just a wad of cash and the couple of top ones are 100 and all the rest are ones underneath or something.
Photocopies. Yeah. Honestly, like, you wouldn't worry. Like, they're the mob, right?
Exactly.
You just go, cool.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. But the grave digger said that they came in with suitcases, paid their boss $45,000 cash.
Yeah.
And it got me thinking about carrying cash because obviously none of us are really doing it anymore.
Well, we're heading towards a cashless society, really.
But there are still those moments where you end up with a bunch of cash on you. Now, I'm trying to remember years ago when I bought the X-Trail, I used a bank check because it was about 11 grand or something at the time.
Checks are out of the way too.
No one's using checks anymore either.
Yeah.
But I used a bank check to pay for that because I didn't want to carry 11 grand on a train.
Yeah. Hang on, what?
I had to catch the train to Hornsby to get the car.
No, I'm not laughing at that. I'm laughing at the fact you paid 11 grand for it. But anyways.
It was 5 years old when I got it.
Okay,
at the time. It was the best car I've ever owned.
Yeah, see, I...
It was a bargain.
Carrying cash. I think the most cash I've ever carried on me at a point was when I sold my car, actually, my old car.
Oh, yeah.
My old little Nissan. I had a little Nissan too. And it was only about $3,000 or $4,000. So, yeah,
but you had $3,000 or $4,000 on you?
Yeah.
So, were you nervous carrying that kind of cash?
I didn't like carrying it.
No.
You know, I'm a nervous person that checks my wallet. Let me make sure I've got my wallet all the time. You know, wallet, phone, keys. Having that much cash on me was freaking me out.
So it wouldn't have looked like much, was it? Like a little wad?
No, it was, yeah.
Like
when you try and stuff it all in your wallet and try and close it, it looks ridiculous. But yeah.
I want to ask this morning, how much have you carried in cash? Now, it could be that you've going from A to B or, like you're buying a car or there's some sort of transaction happening. And obviously this might be from a few years ago because clearly we all don't have cash on us much anymore.
Yeah.
But I'm really curious to find out if you had to carry a wad of cash around.
Yeah, that would be good. Who's got the most?
Carried the most cash around is what I want to ask this morning. And we've got these amazing tickets to the Hunter Valley Air Show, which is a great day out for the whole family.
Yeah.
Plus, we've got Mariners tickets to give away. 13-27-10. What's the most you carried in cash?
All right, give us a call right now. It's Breakfast of Mandy and Widow, 107.7.
Stephen from Widalba. Hi.
Morning, guys. How are we?
Fabulous. Thanks for giving us a call. How much did you had to carry around?
I walked around for about 3 days, 4 days in Sydney with $35,000 in my pocket.
Wow. Okay. Did you rob a bank or was that?
No, I was actually doing a stock run pickup for my friend who owns the tobacconist up this way.
Right.
Right. Wow. Okay.
Wow. That's an awful lot of money. Were you nervous? How did you carry it around? What was it in?
It was actually just in a black plastic shopping bag wrapped up in my pocket.
Oh my, that sounds super dodgy.
Even that must have looked well dodgy. Oh.
Listen, every thousand had an elastic band around it.
Oh yeah, no, it was.
Okay, right. That makes
sense.
Imagine
if you got pulled over by the cops and they searched the car and they found a plastic bag full of cash.
Well, that would have been something to have to try and explain.
You're sounding a little more like Frankie Boy the more this story goes on. Hey, Stephen, we're going to send you to Mariners. Stay there, my friend. Let's go now to John in Lisseroe. Can you top $35,000 in cash, John?
Yeah, I had $40,000.
Oh,
$40,000.
Like, how much does that even look like? Like, how big are the stacks? Like, is it a... Like, I'm keen to find out.
They were in hundreds, so, yeah, it was... Quite a big stack.
Quite a big stack. And what did you carry yours around with?
Oh, I just had them in a couple of deep pockets for a little while.
Shivers.
Okay.
What did you buy?
I bought a boat.
Okay, so that's why you had the cash.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wanted a cash sale, so it was a good boat, so I bought it.
I'm starting to see what's going on here, John. I'm understanding you've got a lot of cash, you bought a boat. People are sleeping with fishes. I understand what's happening.
What do you mean?
He's in the mafia. John's in the mafia.
I thought Stephen was in the mafia.
He knows Frankie Boy.
Oh, he's Frankie Boy. John, how nervous were you when you carried it around? Like,
oh, no, it's just normal because if you act nervous, people pick it up. But, yeah, I just walked around normal.
Look at you.
Yeah, but the relief when you handed it over and paid for the boat, though, that must have been good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you should have seen the guy's face, all this money. He goes, oh, okay.
He asked for cash. What I want to know is what did the bank teller do when you said I want 40 grand cash?
Yeah, okay.
He's like, going to count that stuff out. John, well, I think remarkable.
I think they actually weigh it too.
Do they? Yeah. Okay. John,
yeah,
righto. We're going to send you to the Hunter Valley Air Show. So you don't need cash to get in now. You got your free tickets. That's going to be a great day out for the whole family. Thanks for that, Frankie boy. And
hey, John, if you've got another 40 grand, you might be able to buy a plane when you're out there. You can
add it to the collection.
107.7 TGO.
Hey, we were just talking about carrying loads of cash around, and we got a great call from John who had 40 grand on him for like 2 days because he was buying a boat, which is just remarkable. He sounded like a mobster. And then Hayley, our producer, came in and said that now it's nothing like that kind of amount, but you've got a story about carrying cash, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, so my friend, she carried $2,000 worth of cash. She was actually on her way to a music festival and hired a party bus. Everyone pitched in, gave her a bit of cash for it. So she was responsible for holding all the cash.
To pay for the party bus?
To pay for the party bus, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So on the way to Sydney, the bus broke down. It got a flat tire, couldn't get a replacement. So they all had to get taxis to the music festival. Oh. She then had to get a refund of all the cash. She got to the music festival with $2,000 cash in her wallet. Police were like, why do you have that much amount? And then she's like, oh, no, my bus broke down. All this, that's why I've got the money. They didn't believe her and they would not let her in the music festival.
Oh, whoa. No, so she didn't get to go after all that.
After all that, just because she had $2,000 worth of cash in her wallet.
In fairness to the cops, if someone said, oh, the $2,000 was for my bus fare,
yeah,
that's an expensive bus fare.
You do look dodgy if you're carrying that kind of cash. Yeah. Like, how are you making your money, chick? Wow, incredible.
I know. So, yeah, she was holding on to all the cash before giving it back to everybody. And, yep.
Wow.
Oh,
did all the other friends just go in and say, all right, bye, see you later.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
She went and spent the $2,000 and had a great time.
Yeah. 107.7 2GO.
Slater, he dummies. Beautiful basketball pass. Thunavalu score.
You want the best NRL tips in 2019? You've got them right now on 2GO. These are Sterlo selections.
And we'll chat to Sterlo. Thanks to Brian Hilton, the home of used cars. Every Brian Hilton certifies used car offers you extra peace of mind. G'day, Sterlo.
Hi, Sterlo.
Morning, guys. How you going?
Fabulous, my friend. Fabulous. Hey, just before we get into the footy chat, yesterday we asked the Coast to tell us a story that might be one of their favourite stories from their family or one of those stories that you just tell at a barbecue. You know, those stories that you have really, you know, cemented in your brain over the years?
Oh, gosh.
Do you have one? I was telling one about my brother who stuck a chocolate-coated peanut up his nose and we all thought he was going to die.
Yeah. No, look, I'm sure there are, but not the top of
you don't
head.
Want to share. Think, that's what it is. You don't want to share any, do you? You don't want to share your dark secrets.
I think my younger sister, she might still think she's adopted.
How many siblings have you got, Sterlo?
I've got three sisters.
Three sisters.
I was totally unspoiled as a child, obviously.
Righto.
Sterlo, we've got to raise a bit of a sticky point with you, mate. Last week you tipped against the Eels and they ended up winning.
Yes. Yeah, I'm glad I was wrong. it was an upset. It was such a big win for the old club too because they just needed some confidence early in the season after the debacle of last year. Look, the big test will be this week. They're up against the Bulldogs, who got flogged by the Warriors. And, you know there's generally a bounce-back factor in the NRL. And, even though Parramatta will go in strong favourites this weekend, and I am tipping them.
Oh, you are? Righto. Okay.
It didn't take me long to get on the bandwagon. I think the Doggies are going to be hard to beat. So if they can win their first two games, then that'd be a great start for the Parramatta side, who only won six all year last year. So,
Only six.
Yeah, it wasn't a great season for us. A wooden spoon for us. I'm tipping Parramatta in that game. The other two, big standout games tonight: Dragons and Rabbitohs. I still feel for Tyson Frizzell for the Dragons. He'll be missing the game tonight with a ruptured testicle.
Yeah, that was really awful to watch, wasn't it? And yeah, I thought he composed himself really well with some of the reporters shoving microphones in his face at the airport and stuff like that. Did you see some of that? Like talking to him about his testicles at the airport. I'm thinking, you poor thing. Like, you know.
Yeah. Look, we talk about those all the time. When we're at the airport,
your boys, that's right.
Traveling, exactly right.
Yeah. No two words go together worse than ruptured and testicle, but anyways.
No.
Should never appear in the same sentence, should they?
No. And look,
with him missing, I'm going to go to the Rabbitohs to win that one tonight. And the other one is the Queensland Derby, Brisbane up against the Cowboys.
Oh, yeah.
Always, always a close game. I think four of the last six have gone down to a point, like a 1 point difference between them. So I'm tipping the Broncos to bounce back here. The Cowboys were fantastic last week, but I'm going to go for the Broncos at Suncorp Stadium. So they're the big games of the weekend. I like the Rabbits, like Brisbane, and I'm tipping Parramatta.
Going the Eels, all right.
And Nick, I'm going to have to think about family get-togethers now.
Next week, I want you to bring a story, just something that happened that you just, I mean, you know, the ones that you tell over and over again.
I will have
That's
something.
Your homework for this week, Sterlo. All good.
I'll work hard on it.
Okay, all right. I'll put you on the spot, sorry. All right. But you know what we'll do? We'll get all the rest of your tips. Hayley, our producer, will chat to you now and we'll get them up online for anyone who's copying your tips for their, you know, their workplace footy tips or whatever. Thank you, Sterlo. We'll speak to you next week.
You have a great week, guys.
See ya.
Thanks, Sterlo. And it's thanks to Brian Hilton, the home of used cars. Every Brian Hilton certified used car offers you extra peace of mind.
107.7 2GO.
I want to focus on Italy at the moment because there's a politician over there that's not doing too well.
Well, is he getting egged?
No, he's not getting egged.
Well, it could be worse then.
He's not getting egged. His name's Massimiliano Fradiga.
Oh, well done you.
Thank you.
That was awesome. How long have you been practicing that?
All morning. anyways, he's a member of Italy's far-right party.
Oh, great. That's what we need. More far-right.
No, he's ill, Mandy. He's ill.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, poor Poppet.
He's not well. He's he's actually been in hospital the last 4 days with chicken pox.
Okay.
And
That's not nice as an adult.
Well,
it's a really terrible thing to get as an adult.
It can be very, very dangerous as an adult.
You can actually die from chicken pox as an adult.
Yeah, exactly.
It's pretty bad.
It's the kind of thing you might want to be vaccinated against.
Yes, it is.
Because people are saying this is massive karma because he publicly opposed compulsory vaccinations against 12 diseases in Italy, including chicken pox.
He's an anti-vaxxer.
He's an anti-vaxxer.
He's a far right-wing anti-vaxxer, and he got struck down with the pox.
And he's taken to Twitter to say, I'm okay. I'm recovering from chicken pox. And everyone's just launched at him.
Everyone's just going, karma, this is karma.
Mm.
So he was hospitalised with it.
Yeah, it's very
That's
serious.
That's pretty serious.
Very serious.
I did read a quote from him, which I find really funny. And it is, it's karma, right?
Yeah,
and it's a little bit of a taste of what people go through, because it's all well and good to stand on your soapbox and go, you know, get chicken pox and, you know, then you'll know what it's all about. He says, I guarantee you chicken pox is a very contagious disease and taking it as an adult is really something very, very, very unpleasant. Thanks for that,
Thanks
mate.
For that.
I think the rest of us knew that.
Yeah.
So hopefully he's changed his tune, and I think he's learning a little bit about what the dangers are of spreading germs.
Be interesting to see what his policies are going to change to now.
Yes.
You know, see how much they'll turn around.
It'll be very interesting.
Just do a massive old U-turn. Back that bus up, buddy. Keep
Just
on
back
going.
Up. Beep, beep, beep.
107.7 2GO.
We're having a fashion conversation. Have you got any fashion music we can play?
Fashion music.
Yeah.
Hang on.
Don't do this. Oh yeah. Here we are. On the catwalk.
Gucci, Prucci, Prada.
Whatever.
Ralph Lauren.
I don't know any of the brands because I'm not interested in all the brand name stuff.
Yeah.
But Gucci are causing a bit of a storm at the moment. They've just released their latest sneakers, their latest kicks. They're called Screeners, and they're this vintage sports style sneaker, right, that looks like it's come straight out of the 70s. But they've made them so they're purposefully dirty. Like, they've made them look dirty.
So when you say straight out of the 70s, literally they could be from the 70s,
they
you wore
like,
them a couple of times, yeah. You've left them in the cupboard, you just pulled them out going, oh, I remember these.
They're dirty. They look dirty,
yeah.
And that's their distressed effect, and they are causing a storm online. People are going, come on, Gucci, you're better than that. They look dirty. Why are you selling us? And they're deliberately made that way. They're coloured that way to look scuffed. People are saying just buy a cheaper pair of Gucci sneakers and make them scuffed yourself.
It's that old thing of like, I remember buying my first pair of jeans that were like ripped and, you know, had those designer tears and stuff in them. And my parents just giving me heaps going, what'd you buy a bad pair of jeans for?
Yeah. Well, you'll be interested to know that these sneakers are retailing for around $1,000, so about $980.
Okay.
I think the guys are slightly less, but there are a couple of different colours and, just scuffed up.
So much money.
People are saying these sneakers are for the stupid rich people who want scuffed up dirty sneakers. Other people are saying, buy a $700 pair and make them dirty yourself and you'll save a couple of $100. But it got me thinking about those moments that you think are really cool. So there'll be a bunch of people that think, oh, dirty Gucci sneakers, let's go and buy them.
Yeah.
There'll be a bunch of people that do that.
Yeah.
And then look back and go,
why did I do that?
Yeah. And that's the thing about fashion, isn't it, right?
Yeah.
So you, at the time, you're going, I'm hot. Look at me. Yeah. I look great. And then you see a photo of yourself, you know, 15, 20 years later, and you go, what was I thinking?
I may or may not have donned the Canadian tuxedo in the 90s once or twice.
Double denim. Did you really?
Denim jacket, denim jeans.
So if you were to go back in time, would that be the fashion moment that you would erase? The double denim?
Yeah, probably.
Probably
there's other ones, but I won't go into those. We'll just stick with the double denim.
We've all got them.
If I had
to go back in time and erase a fashion moment, I reckon I'd go back to year 10.
Okay.
My poor parents, honestly, what they put up with. So all my other girlfriends were wearing these taffeta numbers because we're in the 80s, right?
Yeah.
So year 10 formal.
Yeah.
We're dancing with boys.
Yeah.
They're wearing these beautiful off-the-shoulder taffeta numbers with these beautiful satin dresses and things.
Pastels were big.
There was light blue. Yeah. There was some light greens. What did Mandy Coolin wear? Oh, I wore a skin-tight mini skirt dress which had a high collar and it was made out of vinyl. I looked like some sort of dominatrix.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. I think I was going through my goth period. But it was this weird kind of vinyl. And it was so hot as well. Like, I sweated disgustingly in it. It was gross.
What did the people think when you wore it? What did the guys do? I stood out.
Like,
did the guys come and chat to you and be like, hey,
I got one phone number of a guy on the night who I thought was really cute, and then it turned out to be a wrong number, so he gave me a dodgy number.
Oh, that was sad, Mandy.
I know. Oh. Well, what do you think when you're wearing a vinyl dominatrix dress?
Okay, so is that your one? You'd go back and change that?
I would definitely go back and erase the vinyl dress that was, like, really bad. The photos of me with my perm and that dress, honestly, scary stuff.
Yep. All right, well, 13:27:10 this morning.
Get involved.
It's a safe space here.
Absolutely.
We all want to have a bit of a laugh.
What's your fashion moment that you would go back and erase if you could go back in time? Mark from East Gosford, what fashion moment would you go back and erase if you could?
The old button-up jeans.
Button-up jeans? With the buttons actually on the outside?
Yeah, oh, they were in the slip that actually had a flap that covered them. But when you've had a few drinks, you're busting to go to the toilet.
You can rip those off quickly if you need to, but buttoning them back up again, that's the real problem.
Mark, that's a very funny image. Stay there. We got some Mariners tickets for you. Thank you for the call this morning. Let's go to Patrick at the entrance. What are you going to go back and erase, Patrick?
Well, I spent 2 years saving $5 a week so I could buy some Reebok pumps, which were $400.
Oh, I remember the Reebok
pumps.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I was size 6 at the time. I think I was 13 or 14. And I thought I'd get a size 10 so that that'd last me for 10 years. My foot stopped growing at about size 7, and so they were too big for me forever. And I just look absolutely ridiculous in these size 10 shoes.
Oh, Patrick, how much did you spend? $400?
Yeah, so it was 2 weeks of unloading the dishwasher and doing the washing up. Two years of it.
2 years of doing the dishwasher and stuff. And you thought, I'll be sensible here. I'll do what Mum does with my school shoes, and I'll buy a couple of sizes too big. And you probably just look like a clown.
And I stopped at size 7. That's what I am forevermore. And they were ridiculous from that point on.
Oh, Patrick, that's so cool.
No amount of pumping was going to get those three sizes down.
Stay there, Patrick. We're going to send you to the Mariners, friend. That's amazing. Michelle from Greenpoint, what would you go back and erase? What fashion would you take away?
Okay, the go-go T-shirt.
The go-go T-shirt?
Yeah, the wake me up before you go-go T-shirt, the fluoro. Oh, my God.
It was pretty huge, wasn't it? I think I had a choose life. What was yours? Go-go?
I had the go-go fluoro pink with the studded belt, which was fluoro yellow, and I had the pants. Like, it was so wrong. I look at photos and think, what was I on, or I should have been on something, right?
Michelle, I don't know. It might be something about me, but I kind of loved that weird fluoro of the 80s.
Really?
It was just that really... No. Like, unnatural colour was just what is that?
I look back and go, we just looked like council workers, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
We really did. Hey, Michelle, thank you so much. Stay there. We're going to send you to Sea Salt Restaurant for a lovely dinner at the restaurant there. That's awesome. Let's finish up with David from Yamina. David, we're going back in time to erase a fashion faux pas. What's yours?
Well, I don't know how much of a faux pas it was, but there was a time when my wife and I, even in our early years, we wore matching outfits. Remember the early 70s when that was big? Now, we didn't have just one or two. We had a whole week's worth.
A week's worth of matching outfits.
Now, just talk me through, what are some of these outfits that are matching?
Oh, but I'm talking about everything from the shoes to the socks to the pants to the shirt to the watch.
The watch as well.
David, did you have the safari outfit? Was the safari outfit one of the matching
ones? What year are we talking? Yeah.
Something close to that, but I hate to say, there was a period of time where I had a couple of those safari outfits, and you know, I wore them proudly.
Yeah, and you know what? They're back in style, so don't worry about that, David. It's the matching his and hers that will probably never come back in style.
Brilliant.
Have you got photos of this?
I believe somewhere, yes.
I would so love to see a photo of you and your wife in your matching outfits. I'm wondering if you could send it to us on Facebook, David. I think it's just fabulous that we had these trends. What about, was it florals? Was it everything? Or just everything?
Everything. The one that really sticks out in my mind is the baby powder blue slacks, shoes, shirt with the stripes. Yeah. Come on, quit laughing there. Wasn't that funny?
We love it. Thank you so much for giving us a call. That is absolutely fantastic. We're going to send you along.
Now, before you go, yep. I just want you to know you're speaking to Dave Dobbin. Now, you were talking about me the other week.
Dave Dobbin?
Really talk to me first. Yeah.
Dave Dobbin that's responsible for that song?
Unfortunately not.
Oh, okay. Well, Dave, you know what? We're going to send you along to the to see Diesel at the Entrance Leagues Club, which is going to be a great gig. So I hope you enjoy that. And thank you for giving us a call this morning.
Thank you. Have a great day, both.
107.7 2GO.
But if you missed it yesterday, local lad, 9-year-old Taj Farrant, we spoke to his grandmother.
Yeah.
He was flown over to the States with his family, with his sister Giselle and mum and dad, to be on Ellen because he's like a child prodigy guitar player.
And super last minute as well. It was like, hey, you fly out tomorrow pretty much. Like, and see you later, let's go.
Yeah, and so his grandmother was telling us that he's only been playing the guitar for a couple of years. Anyway, this is what happened when he joined Ellen on the show.
We meet a lot of talented kids on this show. Our next guest, he's an incredible guitar prodigy who can play Prince, Black Sabbath, Guns N' Roses like no one else I've heard. From Long Jetty, Australia, please welcome 9-year-old Taj Farrant. What made you start wanting to play?
My dad took me to an AC/DC concert 2.5 years ago, and I was on my pop's shoulders, and I said, I want to do that for the rest of my life.
Oh.
But I really didn't start playing until I was 7, which was like a month after.
Oh, you waited a month.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I was 7, my parents didn't take me to AC/DC.
And here is what 2 years of hard practice gets you.
I mean, this is...
It's amazing.
It blows my mind a little bit, you know, that you can be so young and so talented. But
yeah,
he's definitely going to be a name to watch over the years. Taj Farrant from right here on the Central Coast. So proud of him. And hopefully when he gets back from Disneyland, because Ellen then sent the whole family to Disneyland.
Yes.
Which was incredible. When he gets back, we'll try and get him in to play a bit of guitar for us live, because I want to see this guy in action.
Yep. Good stuff. Hey, look, if you missed anything on the show today, catch up, download the app, or go to 2gofm.com.au. We talked about the ban on disco balls.
Yeah, if you want to hear me get really cranky about disco balls, then go back and have a listen.
I'm right with you on this one, though.
I've got a great protest, though, guys. Yep. It involves us all getting disco balls.
And we got Sterlo's tips and also talked about moments in fashion that you'd rather forget.
Oh,
had some
that
great
was fantastic.
Calls, so.
That matching his and hers fashion has made my day.
Bring it back. Why not? Let's
Why
see
not?
What happens.
His and hers.
We're out of here. Catch tomorrow at 5:30.
Have a good one. Bye. 107.7 2GO.